Hey everyone, welcome back. So, you've all sent us a ton of material on analytics tools,
Yeah.
and honestly,
A lot.
it can be kind of overwhelming,
Yeah.
right? Like, where do you even start with all this stuff? I mean, we've got everything from simple spreadsheets
Right.
to like these super sophisticated software suites.
Yeah, it's like, you're staring into this overflowing toolbox
Totally.
and you have no idea which tool to grab,
Exactly.
That's kind of where we are.
That's why we're here.
It's true. The options are vast.
Ish.
But that's why we're doing this deep dive
Right.
to like help you navigate this landscape. Figure out which tools
Which ones are right for you?
for you. By the end of this, you'll not only know what these tools are,
Right.
but you'll understand what they're good at, where they fall short,
Yeah.
and how they fit into the big picture.
The whole analytics world.
Analytics, exactly.
Okay, so let's start with something I think we're all pretty familiar with,
Okay.
maybe even a little too familiar. Yeah.
Spreadsheets. Good
Spreadsheets.
old Microsoft Excel,
Right,
Google
the
Sheets. You
sheets.
know those grids of cells that I feel like we use for everything?
Budgeting to fantasy football.
Literally everything, yeah.
Right.
Budgeting, tracking fantasy football
Yeah,
leagues.
exactly.
Spreadsheets are often seen as that like starting point for any kind of data
It's a
analysis.
good reason. They're
Yeah.
so versatile.
They are.
I mean, you can use a spreadsheet to just like quickly visualize sales trends.
Oh.
Organize customer data.
Yeah.
You can even run some basic statistical analysis.
That's true.
That flexibility is what makes them powerful.
So powerful. And it's funny, I was reading that spreadsheets
Okay.
actually don't have the same like rigid structure as a database.
Oh, I'm interested.
You can technically mix up different types of data
Oh.
in the same column.
Okay.
Like you could have numbers and text and dates
Really?
all jumbled together.
Huh.
It's a bit like
It's a bit like what?
that kitchen junk drawer where
Yes.
you just throw everything
I
in.
love that analogy.
Yeah. And while that flexibility can be handy for, quick and dirty analysis,
Posterity, yeah.
it can lead to some headaches down the road.
It can, especially if you're working with
Especially if you're working with
large data sets
huge data
or
sets.
collaborating with others.
Other people.
That's where databases come in.
Okay, so databases are more structured.
Much more.
Okay, but why does that even
Yeah,
matter?
it's a good question.
Like, what are the advantages of using a database
Yeah.
over a spreadsheet? Especially as, your business or your
Yeah,
project.
things grow.
Yeah, as things start to grow.
Yeah, it comes down to a few key things.
Okay.
First, databases are designed to handle massive amounts of data,
Huge amounts.
way more than a spreadsheet
Okay.
can comfortably manage.
Gotcha.
Second,
Okay.
they're built for collaboration.
Multiple people can access and update the data
Okay.
simultaneously without like stepping on each other's toes.
Without messing things up.
Exactly.
Okay.
And finally, databases are all about
What?
data integrity.
Okay.
They have these built-in mechanisms to
Yeah.
ensure data accuracy and consistency.
So it's like very, very reliable.
It's reliable, it's
Oh,
robust,
Des,
it's
okay.
built for that serious
That
note.
makes sense. So if you're working with a team or
Yeah.
if you're dealing with like sensitive information,
Right.
a database is probably the way to go.
Probably a better choice.
It's like moving from that like chaotic junk drawer to a well-organized filing system.
Exactly. And speaking of organization,
Yeah.
to really leverage the power of a database,
Okay.
we need to learn how to communicate with it.
Okay.
And that's where SQL comes in.
SQL.
SQL.
Yeah.
Yeah. Structured query language.
I've heard of SQL,
You have.
but it always seemed so technical and intimidating. Sounds scary.
Yeah, is it something I really need to learn?
That's a great question.
Even if I'm not like planning to become a database administrator,
Yeah.
like, do I really need to know this?
Even if you're not writing like complex SQL queries every day,
Right.
understanding the basics can be so valuable.
Okay.
Think of it this way. You don't need to be a mechanic to drive a car,
Right.
but knowing how the engine works
Yeah.
helps you understand what's going on under the hood.
Okay.
So it's good to have that basic understanding.
So SQL is like the user manual for a database.
Kind of, yeah.
It helps me understand how to get the information I need.
Exactly. SQL. It's not as scary as it sounds.
Okay.
At its core, it's all about asking questions.
Okay.
You're essentially telling the database what you're looking for,
Okay.
and it retrieves the data that matches
Yeah.
your request.
Okay, that doesn't sound too bad.
No.
But there are so many like different commands
Right.
and syntax.
It can be a lot. Where do I even begin?
A good place to start is with the two main categories of SQL commands.
Okay.
DDL and DML.
DDL and DML.
Yeah.
Okay.
DDL stands for Data Definition Language.
What's that mean?
It's all about setting up the structure of your database.
Okay.
Think of it like creating the blueprint.
The blueprint.
It's for your data.
So DDL is like the architect of the database.
Exactly.
It defines the tables and the columns and like the relationships.
The relationships between them, yeah.
Okay.
And then there's DML.
Okay.
Which stands for Data Manipulation Language.
Manipulation.
Manipulation, yeah.
Okay.
And this is where you work with the data itself.
Okay.
Like adding new records.
Wow.
Updating existing ones.
Okay.
Or retrieving specific information.
So DDL sets the stage.
Sets the stage.
And DML is where the action happens.
That's a great way to put it, Cole.
Cool.
Yeah.
So, for example,
yeah.
Let's say you have a database of customer information.
Okay.
Using DDL, you would first define a table called customers with columns like name, email, order, history.
Perfect, yeah.
Okay, so we're creating the containers for our data.
Exactly.
And then with DML,
yes,
we can actually populate those containers with customer information.
You got it.
Okay, so we can use DML commands like insert to add new customer records,
right.
Upget to modify existing records,
right.
And select to retrieve specific customer data.
Based on certain criteria.
Based on certain criteria.
Yeah.
So even if I'm not writing the SQL code myself,
yeah.
Understanding these basic concepts
yeah.
Gives me a much better grasp of how databases work.
Absolutely.
And how to interact with them.
It's like learning the basic grammar of a language.
Sure.
It helps you understand the meaning,
yeah.
Even if you're not fluent.
Okay. All right. So we've covered spreadsheets for like quick and dirty analysis.
Yeah.
I've got databases for handling larger and more complex data.
Complex. Yep.
And SQL 4, like talking to those databases?
Communicating with those databases.
Okay. But what if we want to go beyond basic calculations and summaries?
Yeah.
What if we need to do
some
serious number crunching?
That's where things get interesting.
Okay, tell me more.
We can move beyond those tools.
Okay.
And start looking at programming languages.
Okay.
Specifically designed for statistical analysis and data manipulation.
Okay.
In particular, R and Python.
R and Python
are the heavy hitters.
They're very popular
in this arena.
Yeah, I've heard a lot about R and Python.
Yeah.
Especially in like the data science world.
Yeah, it's their domain.
Yeah, but I'm not a programmer.
Okay.
Is it even worth trying to learn these languages?
It's a common question.
If I'm not planning to, you know, become a full-fledged data scientist.
That's a misconception.
Okay.
You don't need to be a coding wizard.
Okay.
To benefit from understanding R and Python.
Okay, so what's the difference between R and Python?
Good question.
They both seem to be pretty popular.
They are both popular.
For data analysis.
But they have distinct strengths.
Okay.
R was created specifically for statistical computing.
Okay.
And data visualization.
Okay.
It's like a Swiss Army knife.
A Swiss Army knife.
For statisticians.
Okay.
With a vast collection of packages and functions for analyzing data.
Okay.
Creating stunning graphs.
Oh, wow.
And building statistical models.
So if I'm doing a lot of statistical analysis,
yeah.
R is probably my go-to.
Probably a good choice.
Okay.
Python, on the other hand,
yeah.
Is more of a general-purpose programming language.
Okay.
It's used for everything from web development
really?
To machine learning.
Wow.
But it also has
okay.
Incredibly powerful libraries
mm-hmm.
like Pandas and NumPy
okay.
That make it ideal for data analysis.
Okay.
And manipulation.
So Python is like a jack of all trades.
It is.
But it can also handle data.
It can.
Uh-huh.
And its versatility makes it a popular choice for data scientists who need to build complex data pipelines.
Mm-hmm.
Integrate with other systems.
Okay.
Or develop machine learning models.
So it's like, if you want more flexibility.
Do you need that power?
Yeah. Python might be the better choice.
It could be.
Okay, that's starting to paint a clearer picture.
Great.
So if I'm primarily focused on like statistical analysis,
yeah.
R might be a good fit. But if I need a more versatile language that can handle a wider range of tasks,
yeah.
Python could be the better choice.
Exactly.
And even if I'm not writing code myself,
right.
Understanding what R and Python can do
yeah.
Is incredibly valuable.
It is.
It allows me to like communicate more effectively with data scientists.
Communicate, yeah.
Understand the possibilities.
Uh-huh.
Make informed decisions about the best tools for my needs.
Exactly. You're speaking the language.
It's like speaking the language, even if I'm not fluent.
Even if you're not fluent, yeah.
Okay, so we've got spreadsheets for quick analysis, databases for managing larger data sets.
Yep.
SQL for talking to those databases.
I'm talking to them, right?
R and Python for advanced statistical analysis.
And data manipulation.
Are we missing anything?
Well, we've covered a lot of ground.
We have.
But there's one more category of analytics tools that we need to explore.
What's that?
Statistical software packages.
What are those?
These are specialized tools designed for statisticians and researchers who need advanced statistical capabilities without necessarily having to write a lot of code.
So it's like having a team of statisticians?
Kind of, yeah.
At your fingertips.
At your fingertips, exactly.
That's amazing.
It is.
It's like having a whole arsenal.
A whole arsenal.
Of statistical tools to choose from.
It is. It's a powerful set of tools.
But how do I know which one is right for me?
That's where it gets even more interesting.
Okay.
To choose the right tool, we need to think about the types of data you're working with.
Okay.
The specific questions you're trying to answer.
Uh-huh.
And the level of statistical sophistication required.
Okay, so it depends. It really depends on the specific context.
On the context, exactly.
But regardless of which statistical software package you choose, the key is to understand the underlying statistical concepts.
Absolutely. That's where things get really exciting.
Okay.
And that's where we'll pick up in part two of this deep dive.
All right. Stay tuned, everyone.
So before we jump into the world of statistical software packages, it's crucial to understand the foundational concepts that make these tools so powerful.
Right, because at the end of the day, it's not just about the software, right? It's about what you can do with it.
Exactly. It's about the insights you can glean.
Yeah, so let's talk about those foundational concepts.
Okay.
Where should we begin?
Well, a great starting point is descriptive statistics.
Descriptive statistics, okay.
It's about taking a messy pile of data.
Okay.
And summarizing it in a way that's easy to understand.
So like taking the chaos and making
sense of it.
Something we can digest.
Exactly. Think about things like the average.
Okay.
The median, the range. Those simple measures.
Yeah.
They can give you a quick snapshot of what your data looks like.
So if I have a data set of, say, customer purchase amounts.
Okay.
Descriptive statistics would tell me.
It would tell you.
Like the average purchase amount.
The average it.
The most frequent purchase amount, the mode.
The mode,
And maybe how spread out those purchases are.
Exactly.
Okay.
And those insights can be really valuable for understanding your customers' buying habits.
Okay.
You can see if you're attracting big spenders.
Okay.
Or budget-conscious shoppers.
Interesting.
If your sales are consistent or if there are, like, wild fluctuations.
So just by calculating a few, like,
a few
simple statistics, we can start to see patterns and trends.
Patterns and trends, exactly.
That might not be obvious just by looking at the raw data.
Exactly. That's the beauty of statistics.
It's like it helps us make sense of the chaos.
It helps us make sense of the chaos.
And once we have a good grasp of
descriptive
statistics, we can move on to inferential statistics.
Inferential statistics, that's where things get really interesting.
Inferential statistics sounds a bit more complex.
It sounds more complex, but it's really not that bad.
Okay, what's the key difference?
With inferential statistics, we're going beyond just describing the data we have in front of us.
Okay.
We're using that data to make predictions.
Predictions.
And draw conclusions about a larger population.
A larger population. Okay, so we're not just talking about the data we have.
Exactly.
We're trying to
extrapolate.
Like, to the bigger picture.
The bigger picture. Okay.
Exactly.
Can you give me an example?
Sure. Let's say you're conducting a survey.
To gauge customer satisfaction, it's impossible to survey every customer.
You can't talk to everyone.
You can't. So you take a sample.
Okay.
Maybe a few hundred responses.
Okay.
Inferential statistics allows you to use that sample data to make inferences about the satisfaction levels of your entire customer base.
Wow. So we're kind of like data detectives.
I like that.
Using clues from a small sample to solve the mystery.
To solve the mystery.
Of the larger population.
Exactly.
I like that.
And the reliability of our conclusions hinges on how well our sample represents the entire population.
So it has to be a good sample.
It has to be a good sample.
Okay.
If our sample is biased, our inferences will be off.
Yeah. So we need to be careful.
We need to be very careful.
About how we collect our data.
And how we analyze it.
And how we analyze it.
To make sure our conclusions are accurate.
Makes sense. Okay, so now, once we start exploring like relationships between variables,
yes,
we enter the realm of
like correlation and regression.
Correlation and regression.
Two big words.
They are big words.
But important concepts.
Okay.
These statistical techniques help us uncover how different factors might be connected.
Okay, let's break those down.
Correlation.
Correlation. That's about seeing if two things tend to move together, right?
You got it.
Like maybe website traffic and online sales.
Exactly. A classic example.
Okay.
A positive correlation means that as one variable increases, the other tends to increase as well.
Oh, okay.
A negative correlation means that as one increases, the other tends to decrease.
So a positive correlation between website traffic and online sales would suggest that like more visitors generally lead to more sales.
Precisely. Yeah. Correlation can be a powerful tool.
For what?
For identifying potential opportunities or areas for improvement.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
All right, and what about regression?
Regression.
How does that differ from correlation?
So while correlation tells us if two variables are related, regression goes a step further.
Okay.
And attempts to define the nature of that relationship.
Okay.
It allows us to create a model that predicts how changes in one variable might impact another.
So if we know there's a positive correlation between website traffic and sales, could we use regression to predict how many sales we might get?
You could.
Based on a certain level of traffic.
It's exactly right.
Wow.
Regression can be so valuable for forecasting, resource allocation, and understanding how different factors contribute to an outcome.
This is starting to feel like we're building a whole statistical toolkit.
We are.
We've got descriptive statistics for summarizing.
Summarize.
Inferential statistics for generalizing.
Generalizing.
Correlation for spotting relationships.
Spotting those relationships.
Get regression for making predictions.
Making those predictions.
What else should we add to this data arsenal?
Well, when we're dealing with uncertainty and risk, probability becomes our best friend.
Probability, okay.
It helps us understand the likelihood of different events occurring.
So probability can help us answer questions like...
It can.
What are the chances of this marketing campaign exceeding its goals?
Yeah.
Or what's the risk of this investment failing?
Exactly. Probability provides a framework...
A framework.
For quantifying uncertainty, allowing us to make more informed decisions.
Even when we don't have all the answers.
Even when we don't know everything.
That's super valuable.
It is.
In today's, like,
unpredictable
world.
Exactly.
It seems like probability goes hand in hand with statistical modeling, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Statistical modeling combines probability and data analysis to create mathematical representations of real-world phenomena.
So we might build a model to, like, simulate customer behavior, predict stock prices, or analyze the spread of a disease.
Exactly. Those are all great examples.
Yeah.
These models can be incredibly complex.
Yeah.
But at their core, they're all about using data and probability to make sense.
The world around us.
Okay, so we've gone from simple averages to sophisticated statistical models.
We've covered a lot.
It's amazing how many different tools and techniques we can use to extract insights from data.
It is, and it's a constantly evolving field.
Yeah.
There's always something new to learn.
And this brings us back to those specialized statistical software packages.
Oh, yeah.
We mentioned earlier.
The heavy hitters.
Yeah.
These packages are like power tools for statisticians and researchers. Providing a suite of pre-built functions and algorithms for all those statistical techniques that we've been talking about.
That we've been discussing, exactly.
So it's like having a...
It's like having a what?
Professional grade workshop.
I like.
For data analysis.
For data analysis, yeah.
But with so many options out there.
There are a lot.
How do we even begin to choose?
That's a great question.
The right software package.
Yeah, it can be a little tricky.
Yeah.
The best choice really depends... Your specific needs, your budget, and the type of data you're working with.
So similar to choosing, like R or Python.
It is, yeah. It's about finding the right tool for the job.
Okay.
But before we dive into that, let's shift gears a bit.
Okay.
And talk about another important aspect of the analytics landscape.
Okay, what's that?
Those all-in-one analytics suites.
Okay, so we're moving from...
What?
The specialized tool.
Specialized tools, yeah.
Of the statistician.
Of the statistician.
To something a bit more broad.
A bit more broad, a bit more encompassing.
Okay, tell me.
So analytics suites are like what? The Swiss Army knives of the data world.
Okay, the Swiss Army knives?
They aim to be your one-stop shop.
One-stop shop, okay.
For everything analytics.
Okay.
Data preparation,
mm-hmm.
visualization,
mm-hmm.
analysis,
okay.
and even predictive modeling.
That sounds both amazing and maybe a little overwhelming.
It can be. There are a lot of options out there.
Okay.
Each with its own strengths and quirks.
Yeah, I'm ready for the grand tour of analytics suites.
Okay, let's do it.
All right, so we're about to embark on this tour of analytics suites.
Yes.
These platforms that, you know, promise to do it all.
Right, the one-stop shop.
But before we get lost in the sea of, like, acronyms and features.
Yeah, it can be overwhelming.
Can we take a step back?
Sure.
And just talk about what someone should even be looking for in an analytics suite.
Yeah, what are the key considerations?
Yeah, what are those?
That's a great point.
It's easy to get swept up.
Very easy.
And all the bells and whistles, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But the most important thing is finding a suite that aligns.
Aligns with
your specific needs and goals.
Needs and goals first, features second.
Exactly.
Can you break that down a bit more?
Sure.
Like, what are some of the key questions someone should be asking themselves?
Yeah.
As they, like, evaluate.
As they evaluate, yeah.
Different analytics suites.
Well, first and foremost.
Yeah.
Think about the type of data you're working with.
Okay. The type of data?
Is it primarily structured data?
Structured data.
Like sales transactions or customer demographics?
Okay.
Or are you dealing with more unstructured data?
Unstructured, okay.
Like social media posts or customer reviews?
That's a good distinction.
Yeah. Some suites excel at handling structured data.
Okay.
While others are better equipped for the complexities of unstructured data.
Makes sense. You wouldn't use a hammer to drive a screw.
Exactly.
So knowing your data is step one.
Step one. Know your data.
What else?
Next, consider your analytical maturity.
Analytical maturity.
Are you just starting out?
Okay.
With basic reporting and dashboards?
Like, I'm a beginner.
Beginner level, yeah.
Okay.
Or do you need more advanced capabilities?
Uh-huh.
Like predictive modeling and machine learning?
Okay. So, like, I'm more advanced.
More advanced, yeah.
Okay.
Some suites are geared towards, like, self-service analytics for business users.
Okay.
While others cater to data scientists and analysts.
Who need those more sophisticated.
Sophisticated tools.
Exactly.
So it's about finding the right fit for, like.
For your skill level.
My skill level.
And your analytical ambition.
My ambitions, yeah.
How far do you want to go with this?
What else should we be thinking about?
Integration. How well does the suite integrate with your existing data sources and systems?
Okay.
Can it easily connect to your CRM, your marketing automation platform, your cloud storage?
So all those different systems, all the different systems,
that I might be using.
Because seamless integration can save you.
Save me.
A ton of time and headaches.
It's like making sure all the pieces of your data puzzle fit together smoothly.
Exactly.
Okay.
Anything else?
Definitely think about your budget.
Budget, yeah.
And deployment options.
Deployment options.
Some suites are cloud-based.
Okay.
Offering a subscription-based model.
Like a monthly subscription.
Exactly. Yeah. While others require, like, on-premise installation.
Oh, wow.
And licensing.
Okay, so it's a bigger...
It can be a bigger commitment.
Commitment.
Yeah.
Cloud-based is more flexible.
More flexible, potentially more scalable.
But on-premise might give me more...
More control.
More security potential.
Okay, so it's about weighing...
Weighing the pros and cons of the different approaches.
Costs and benefits of the different deployment models.
Exactly.
Okay, I think I have a better grasp now of the key considerations. So let's finally embark...
Okay.
On that tour.
Let's do it.
Of analytics suites. Give me the highlights.
Okay, let's start with some of the big names.
Okay, the big players.
The heavy hitters. First up, we have IBM Cognos.
IBM Cognos, okay.
This is a veteran in the space.
A veteran, okay.
Known for its comprehensive features.
Okay.
And its ability to handle large and complex data sets.
Large data sets, okay.
It's particularly strong in enterprise reporting.
Okay.
And business intelligence.
So Cognos is like the seasoned professional in analytics suites.
It's been around for a while.
Yeah.
It's got a proven track record.
Okay. What else?
Now, if you're heavily invested in the Microsoft ecosystem.
Okay. Microsoft.
Power BI is a natural choice.
Power BI. Okay.
It integrates seamlessly with other Microsoft products like Excel and Azure.
Okay.
And its user-friendly interface.
Yeah.
makes it popular with business users.
So Power BI is like the friendly teammate.
I like that.
That plays well with others.
It does. It plays well with the Microsoft stack.
All right. What if I'm not in the Microsoft world?
Well, if you're looking for a cloud-based solution.
Okay.
That's known for its stunning visualization.
Visualizations.
And data storytelling capability.
Data storytelling.
The Tableau is a strong contender.
Tableau.
It's become the go-to tool for many data analysts and business intelligence professionals.
Who need to
create compelling and insightful dashboards.
So Tableau is the artist of the analytics world.
I like that.
Turning data
into
visual masterpieces.
Visual masterpieces, exactly.
Okay.
And if you're in the sales and marketing world.
Okay. Sales and marketing.
Datarama. Right. Now, part of Salesforce is specifically designed to help you track and analyze your marketing performance, measure ROI, and optimize your campaigns.
So Datarama is like the marketing guru.
Marketing guru, exactly.
Yeah, of analytics suites.
These are just a few examples.
Okay.
There are many other players.
So many options.
In the analytics suite market.
Okay.
Each with its own strengths and niche.
So it's about finding the right...
The right one.
One for me.
For you.
The key is...
Do your research.
Understand my needs.
Understand your needs.
Choose the suite that's the best fit.
The best fit for you.
It sounds like choosing an analytics suite is a bit like choosing a car.
It is.
You need to think about your budget.
Your budget.
Your needs.
Your style.
Your style.
How you plan to use
it. How you're going to use it.
There's no one size fits all.
Exactly.
Okay. So we've explored.
We have.
A wide range of analytics tools.
Wide range.
From the humble spreadsheet to the sophisticated analytics suite.
We've come a long way.
We've talked about programming languages, statistical concepts, and the importance of choosing the right tool for the job. The right tool for the job.
But as we wrap up this deep dive, I want to bring it back.
Back to?
To the most important tool of all.
In our own minds.
Absolutely. All of these tools are incredibly powerful.
They are.
But they're only as good as the people using them.
It's true.
It's up to us to ask the right questions. Interpret the results thoughtfully.
Yeah.
And use those insights to make informed decisions.
It's about being data literate.
Data literate.
Being able to understand and communicate with data.
Communicate.
And using it to navigate the world around us.
Absolutely. And that's a skill that goes far beyond just knowing how to use a particular software program.
It's bigger than that.
It is.
It's a way of thinking.
It's a way of thinking, yeah.
It's about critical thinking.
Critical thinking.
Problem solving.
Problem solving.
And a willingness to keep learning.
Keep learning.
And adapt.
As the world of data continues to evolve.
It's always changing.
It is. Well said. And on that note.
Yes.
We'll wrap up this deep dive
into
the world of analytics tools.
It's been a journey.
We've covered a lot of ground.
A lot of ground.
But remember, this is just the beginning.
The beginning.
The real adventure starts
when
you take these concepts
and
apply them
to your own
data.
To your own challenges.
To your own unique challenges.
Exactly.
So go forth.
Go forth and explore.
I'm glad there, man.
And never stop.
Never stop.
Asking questions.
Asking questions. The world of data...
It's huge.
It's vast.
And full of possibility.
Full of possibility.
Waiting to be discovered.
Waiting to be discovered.
Beautifully said.
Thank you.
Until next time, happy analyzing.